Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, Kaylin Patterson, P for P Muscle Midwest Muscle. I don't even know what I'm saying today. And this program is sponsored by P for P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. And if you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals like what that is?
Like a Mack truck through ice cream.
Without brakes and no kind of stopper and no windshield wipers.
Oh, my goodness.
P4PMuscle.com. And now let's talk. And I will say, first off, this is a subject that's been getting a lot of messages today, and I appreciate all of them, and we will get further into it. But for right now, I'm just going to throw it over to Dez, and we'll introduce everybody, and we'll get this show started.
Hey, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Thanks for joining us. And Kaylin is right. We have a topic that has seemed to have touched a lot of nerves out there because several women have either experienced what we're going to be talking about, or they have witnessed what we're going to be talking about, and then also several males as well. And you know, it's funny because it's not funny, but I use the word funny from the standpoint that it's curious to me, or that it's odd, is because in the natural community we are such a close knit community, and I think we do a really good job of supporting each other and uplifting each other, that we almost have a false sense of being sheltered sometimes. But when we step outside of our group, it tends to be almost, or it can be, a whole different story about the type of reaction that we're talking about women tonight specifically get for being in the gym, for lifting weights, for striving to improve their form, improve their physique, to most of us compete in a sport that we love. And what we are talking about tonight is fit shaming. So a lot of you have probably heard about fat shaming, and fit shaming is like it's you know, twin sister, except on the other side, and neither of them are acceptable. But basically what you have are individuals who are degrading another person because of the way they look. And, you know, when fat shaming hit the scene, it was like the worst thing that could ever happen. It was a heinous activity. Shame on anyone out there who would make someone who was overweight or obese feel bad about the way that they look. I mean, if you were a person who did something like that, you were lower than low. And everyone was going to come after you, especially on social media. But for some reason, on the flip side of that, we seem to feel, we collectively, meaning many people out there, seem to think it's okay to do the same thing to women who are working very hard on their bodies to be healthy, to pursue a different look, for being too fit, for being too healthy, for being too muscular particularly. And it's almost like, oh my gosh, Kaylin, women just can't seem to catch a break here. We're either too fat or too fit. I mean, I don't know what the deal is out there.
Well, I'm just amazed. And I really have to say that that word is tossed about a lot. But this time I think it's very necessary, because what I'm seeing is so, so hard for even to accept. Like you said, we are in the dark on a lot of things, and obviously I was I've seen, and the locker room talk, and I've corrected a lot of gentlemen with some of the things they say, and not just for the women I know, but for the women I know are busting their butts in the gym. But then there's that other area where you have to really look and see, wow, you know, it does go to another level, and it's beyond ignorant, it's beyond normal social norms, where you have people that are basically, like you said, giving their best. And I used to, you know, really get on guys about, you know, talking about fat people, male or female, because I was thinking, well, I can't imagine somebody that's healthy and whole coming to a hospital and everybody saying, well, that's the one we want in the hospital. the person you want in the hospital is the one that's sick. And, you know, the people that are basically coming to the gym is because there's something wrong in their life and they have to get that straightened out, and this is the place to go. And then you ridicule them for showing up. And I was, you know, for me, that was an eye-opener. And then to find out that they're, you know, not only is it where people are doing better, but they're being oppressed for doing better. And you know, the American dream is basically pushing yourself to, you know, go above and beyond. And for some reason, the fit women are being attacked for doing just that American dream.
Crazy. I mean, to be on this side of the fence, it seems illogical, but I don't know. I mean, there's no reason for it either way you look at it, on either end of the spectrum. It's just very sad that it occurs at all. And so this evening, we've got two very well-known fit ladies that are going to be on the line with us to talk about fit shaming. We have a natural competitor and model, Loretta Ward, with us. And then we also have bodybuilding legend Brenda Ray, who's going to be on the line with us as well. Welcome, ladies, to the show. Loretta, I'd like to start with you. For any of our new listeners who aren't familiar with who you are, can you please give us a brief introduction into yourself?
Yes. Hi there, Desiree, and hi, Kaylin. My name is Loretta, and I'm a coach, and I'm also a coach not just for competitors, but for those who want to lose weight, and I'm a sponsored athlete with P4P, so thank you to P4P. I work with True Life Fitness, and you can find True Life Fitness on Facebook without an E, TRU, Life Fitness, and my husband is True Ward, so he's also a competitor. We talk about this all the time, this exact topic that we are discussing today, so I'm really happy to be here, and like I posted earlier on my Facebook page, I don't have all the answers. But as Desiree said, fit shaming is the new fat shaming, and I've seen it, you know, I see it every day. My husband was on the Army Times, Military Times, which is nationwide, worldwide, just this last week, and there was an amazing figure competitor that was also featured. And to be recognized on that level is an honor, but there is probably about 9-to-1 ratio of negative comments to positive, which is kind of disheartening, because these men and women that are serving our country and are also trying to inspire health and have made their way to complete some very big goals, you know, are, you know, really not given the respect they deserve. As one woman had posted, you know, that's too much muscles on a woman. I don't think that's sexy. And I commented back to her, well, I think that's very sexy on a woman. It's personal preference. But that's kind of the norm, and nobody's going to say the same thing. They're not going to post an article about someone who's maybe 300 pounds, who lost 100 pounds, and they still might be overweight, and someone's not going to post on there, you know, that's not sexy. That's 200 pounds. That's not sexy. Because people don't do that. So I think people have really got accustomed to not fat shaming others, because that's not right. Most of the people in the fitness industry want to inspire those that are overweight, and maybe they do like their curves, but maybe their health is a concern. You know, maybe they're pre-diabetic or diabetic, and, you know, there's other reasons they need to get in shape besides just not liking their body type. But a lot of those, you know, in the fitness industry who are competitors are also coaches, you know, have been around for quite a while and worked with many different people, and they're not shaming those people. They're bringing everyone up. So it's really disheartening when you see so many that are shaming them.
It is, and I would agree. You bring up a lot of good points, and we are going to be circling back around to those. But before we do that, I would like to also welcome Brenda to the show. And Brenda, if you could give a brief introduction of yourself as well for our listeners, we'd appreciate it.
Hey, everyone. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Hey, lady.
Hi. Hey, my name is Brenda Ray, and hi, how are you? I've been in this sport for, this will be 17 years. And I've been competing as a pro for, I got to really think about my math on this one, for 15 of those years. So the first 2 years as an amateur, the last 15 as a pro. So I also, of course, coach athletes to the stage through my business, Absolute Definition. But I also work with general wellness population clients as well, whether it's weight loss, to gain muscle, you know, improve overall health. So I see it in all respects. Everything that you're saying completely resonates.
So this is going to be a tougher topic tonight, I think, just because it is so personal to many of the ladies that are listening to the show, and hopefully we have enough time to get to all of the questions because we already have received a lot of listener questions. But before we get there, I kind of just want to kick off the show with posing the question, when did it become socially acceptable to be so out and out blatantly negative about someone's appearance? Whether that was fat shaming. And I think there's a difference between fat shaming and encouraging someone to be more healthy, like Loretta said, because if you're unhealthy and your weight is part of that, you should want to address that. And if you don't, that's okay, I guess. But, you know, there's a reason for someone reaching out to you on that level. But where are the social boundaries anymore? Or do we not have any social boundaries anymore when it comes to people just being able to say whatever they want about your physical form? Linda, let's
Desiree,
start with you.
I have an answer
for
this.
Or Loretta. Whoever wants to go first. We'll go with Loretta. Go ahead.
Well, my thought on that, because my husband and I have discussed it so many times, is a large portion of that is social media. And
yes,
it's a problem. I've talked to my daughter about that. You know, you're not going to write something to somebody or say something about somebody that you wouldn't say to their face. But a lot of people do that nowadays. And especially, I'm sure as Brenda Ray probably knows, you know, as you get bigger and bigger, the people maybe on your social media circle are not just your close friends anymore. They might be fans and acquaintances and people who share your photo and this and that. So I've seen people comment, you know, my photos like walking skeleton, or, you know, that's gross, that's too much. And I'm not even as cut, or I don't have as much, you know, size as a lot of women do. I'm a figure competitor. But you see that, and I think it's that so many people are just at home and bored, and they just think that it is a social norm because they're not going to see those people face to face. You know, there's times when I'll comment back to somebody and they're like, whoa, because they didn't expect to hear from the person that, you know, wrote the comment to them, or wrote the, you know, mm-hmm. they wrote the comment about. And I'll say it nicely and politely, but it's just a matter of fact, I think, as social media gets bigger and bigger, people just don't think they're ever going to see that person face to face. And maybe it's insecurity, jealousy, negativity, you know, a number of factors. But that's my opinion, although, you know, we see it face to face as well.
Brenda, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, social media definitely is a huge part of that. Everybody is so into what everyone else is doing that I think the world has completely disconnected and they've gone without instead of within. So as soon as they see something that maybe triggers a desire or, you know, some sort of emotion in them that it's something they would like to do but maybe have a fear of, or, you know, maybe think, I can't do that, or, you know, maybe it's their upbringing, what they were taught, whatever it is, but it's like the world is completely disconnected to what do they want, what matters to them, and they're so worried about what everyone else is doing that I think that's a lot of where that is just being pulled from people and projected out. And then there's always the, you know, the trend, what's trendy, you know, what's the trendy look right now? I don't care if it's your clothes or your body. So if you don't fit that mold and you're busy doing your own thing and someone else sees that you're doing your own thing, again, I think it triggers the quote unquote without instead of within. So they're expressing emotions in a negative way about, you know, maybe the way they want to look, or they do like the way you look, but their friends don't think it's cool. So of course they're going to put it down or say bad things about it because it doesn't fit in with their circle of friends, which unfortunately they probably haven't learned that those really aren't their tribe of people. They probably shouldn't be with those people if that's a true desire that they have. You know, all of that changes when you honor yourself over time. And, you know, fortunately I've had a lot of opportunities over the last 17 years of being a competitor because I didn't always look this way. This is a lot of time and effort, of course, you know, to build the body that I have. But I've had a lot of opportunities in that time as I have transitioned forward to share some things with people who have maybe said comments or made comments, and I've used those as opportunities to teach them things. Ironically, many of them have gone on to completely change their mindset and transform their own body. So that's great, but it doesn't always happen that way. But in the beginning, it used to really irritate me. And, you know, it used to, of course, make me feel like crap because here I am doing this thing I love and the world is telling me, oh, my God, that is so wrong. But fortunately, you know, now that's not the case. But I think, again, it's just mindset. You know, what do you surround yourself with and how you view it? You know, is what your goal is that important to you, or is your goal or is what other people say, I'm sorry, more important than your goal, right? So there's a lot of, I think there's a lot of mind training that needs to be done in the world, both for the people that are maybe sending out the negative messages and for those of us who are the recipients of those negative messages, right? So we both need to strengthen our minds as well as our bodies, for sure.
And I like how you position that in strengthening your mind along with the body, but strengthening the mind because it also brings me back around to the education standpoint, which you also touched on and ties into one of the listener questions I'm going to go ahead and bring in now. But I would like to hear more from both of you on how you can use this feedback in teachable moments. But then also the question is, and I think this is a good tie on when you are faced with these comments, and as Loretta had put out, they're not always on social media. You face them, you know, you deal with them face-to-face as well in the gym. How do you keep the situation from escalating, either from verbal sparring over social media or one-on-one, and especially when you're in the gym, from escalating to the point where you're causing a scene and or may get asked to leave the gym because you've been offended and you're not quite sure how to deal with what this person just said to you. Brenda, why don't we start with you on that one?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question because let me tell you, there's been plenty of times where I have had to take a deep breath, and not even because it was being said to me, but I could hear other people talking about someone in the gym that wasn't me, because most times I'm completely covered up and I just look like a tiny little stick, to be honest with you. So most people can't tell unless I have, you know, smaller gym clothes on. But when that happens, I mean, when it's happened to me, I can give you a few examples of one thing that happened that was hilarious, and I've actually shared this before. A lot of people that have gone to my workshops for competing and stuff have heard this. I was hanging posters for the event that I promote every spring. So obviously, you guys know that I promote a bodybuilding show. And I was hanging the posters up at a local high school, actually, trying to get the kids to, you know, come watch. And the ladies in line in back of me, it was up above the quote-unquote bubbler because I live in Wisconsin. And the ladies in back of me said, oh, my gosh, that is so wrong. There's no way that girl is natural on that poster. She's taking steroids. Look at all those muscles. It was my first year promoting, so I was on the poster. All right, so I'm in front of them hanging this poster, and I have my gym clothes on, but I'm covered up with a sweatshirt yet. Like I said, if you see me on the street, you would not know, you know? And so I turned around, and they saw my face, and the one lady looked at the other. She looked like she saw a ghost, and she said, oh, my gosh. Well, actually, I'm sorry. When I turned around, the one lady said to me, she's like, oh, we saw you in there working out before. You're so fit. We were curious if you're a trainer. We really like the way you look. Mind you, they just said what they said about me on the poster. I am the same person. Then when the other one looked at me, her face, like I said, she looked like she saw a ghost. And I didn't say anything. I just waited to find out what was going to come out of her mouth because I wasn't going to be the one to give her an out. So she just said, is that you on the poster? I said, yes, actually, that is me on the poster. I'm a professional natural bodybuilder, completely drug-free. And I'm also a wellness coach and a personal trainer, and I do lifestyle transformation programs with people like yourselves. I have a lot of females in the area that I work with, and I left it there. And her friend was like, well, do you have a card? I'd be interested in learning more information. I'm like, you know what? I do. So I gave them my business card. And I honestly never thought they'd call me because I thought that they would just go hide. They did call me. They ended up becoming my clients together, actually. They were two friends, you know. And they were older ladies in their early 50s at the time when that happened. And that was, you know, 9 years ago. So, amen, great learning opportunity. And they had a lot to say to me in that consultation. Let's just say that I didn't, you know, shame it or say anything. I didn't even bring it up. They were the ones to bring it up. So that's one isolated opportunity or, you know, experience that I've had with it. That was actually quite funny. People have such a misconception of what they see we look like on stage and what we are in life because, as you guys know, there's a big difference. You know, you can see me now and I can go through prep and dial my body in and, you know, fill my muscle bellies with carbs. And, of course, I look 10 times bigger than I do right now. You know, I don't have the body fat and I'm full of carbs. But there's been other experiences. I've had a lot of my clients that I coach that compete go through these things, and I try to teach them, you know, always take a deep breath, center yourself, and realize that there's nothing wrong with your person. Do you love the way you look? Number one, are you strong enough to look in the mirror and say, this is what I want. This is the way I want to look? Because, frankly, you've got to train your mind first. Like I said, I mean, I don't care if you're general wellness or if you're competing. If you don't train your mind first, you're – instinct is always going to be to react because we're emotional beings, right? But if you can control your mind and train that and really be comfortable, like if you like where you are, there's nothing wrong with this. The insults, the comments, the things that other people say, it's about them. It's not about you. You can use it if you're calm as a great learning opportunity. And some of those people don't want anything to do with it because they're in that kind of a place. They don't care what you say. They're looking for an argument. Honestly, walk away from that. Those people aren't your tribe, and that's okay. You know, you're not being mean. You're not being disrespectful. I've actually had it happen a couple of times when I first started competing, especially in my area where I live. This is not the norm. I just actually looked at them and said, thank you for sharing your opinion. I appreciate that. And I just walked away, and they didn't know what to say because they were stunned. I didn't have anything. I wasn't going to argue, you know. You can't argue with that, so don't waste your breath.
No, you can't argue, but you could punch him in the face, maybe. But we don't want to do that.
Oh, my goodness.
That gets us kicked out of that gets us kicked out of the gym.
I was just looking at it this way, you know.
Which is what our listener Sam was hoping to avoid.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that doesn't get it anywhere, and all that does is prove them right, because they already think we're steroided up freaks, right? So obviously if I have anger issues, guess what?
Good point. And they're kind of counting to justify what they're doing. And if I could chime in for a bit, because there's one thing that I noticed has been, like Brenda was saying, some being tossed around what's trending, and one of those things is politically correct. And I think what a lot of people are forgetting when they're being politically correct, when they say whatever they want, is that the person that is being talked about or talked towards has a right to say whatever they please as well. And I think that's where they feel threatened by women who no longer hide or never did hide They just never were in front of people of such ignorance. And when confronted with that, you know, there is a lot of shame and a lot of embarrassment for the person running their mouth. And they lash out, like Brenda was saying, to where it's just not a winnable situation when you talk about actually getting your workout in, because that's what most of us are concerned about, and getting in and getting out, instead of basically providing a show for all who feel the need to watch. So, you know, I think we need to think about that as well, and we definitely need to have, and I don't want to say a thicker skin, because if you're in a newborn prep and just learning yourself and just realizing, because a lot of us step into the gym without that that mindset that we have now, and I know I had just being a guy having to go through some things, not to this level. And I can definitely say that, not to this level, to where it's just basically a barrage of ignorance, to where you almost feel like you're being under an avalanche. But, you know, when you're hearing the things, like Brenda was saying, it's not at you. It's more to their self-fear, their self-doubt, and their self-hatred. There's a lot of anger because there's a lot of fear that's driving that anger, and we need to think about those things. When someone's getting hot-headed and flying off the handle, it's never us. Because I guarantee if you spill coffee, there's somebody that's going to blow their top because that really wasn't the coffee they wanted to drink. But they might have had a bad day at home. They might not have the home life that we're used to or the work life that we're used to. But it's a very immature mindset that's driving them. So, I just want to put that out there.
No, and those are all very valid points there. I guess getting into more of the psychology of it, which I'm not going to spend a lot of time on. I'm not a psychologist, but, you know, you just never know the reasoning behind some of these statements that people are making. I think Loretta is right. Some of them are bored. Some of them are insecure. Some of them want to chime in with the popular voices, you know, as Loretta was saying. If, you know, negative comments are 9-1 over a positive comment, then, yeah, it's easy to have that bandwagon mentality. And then chiming on to what Brenda was just saying about how to handle volatile situations, we have a question that piggybacks onto that for Loretta, and this is from Holly, and she wants to know how you keep your respect level up of situations like these.
Well, Desiree, I was just kind of pondering over the last question as well. And you're speaking of how I keep my respect level up towards another individual or for myself, like self-respect.
Why don't you go ahead, if you have thoughts on both of those angles, why don't you go ahead and share that with you? Because it goes both ways. How do you keep your respect level up, from the public view when you're being, we'll call it attacked, if you will. And then secondly, you know, internally, how do you keep your respect level up and not let that negativity drag you down?
Right. I think at some point, it's a little bit draining to hear the negativity, but in most respects, you know, exercise is the best antidepressant. You know, it builds self-esteem, it builds confidence, and there are those that are threatened by strong women. There are those people that don't accept all others as they are, and they might not feel great about themselves or might have other things going on, and I'm not going to judge anyone for that. But I know for myself, you know, being a 40-year-old woman, I feel that it doesn't really bring me down. You know, I keep my self-respect and I can handle it, you know, in a positive way. I'm not going to lose my temper or, you know, let it affect me emotionally. But it does need to stop. And I do worry about some of my competitors that maybe it's their first time competing. They've never been as lean in their life. They've, had a lot of mental challenges, and maybe it's their last few weeks before a competition, and, you know, it's draining for all of you on this call
mm-hmm.
have competed, and, you know, the challenges mentally more than physically coming up to a show. And I worry about those individuals. You know, I've had competitors in their early 20s, and they might not have the same sense of security, and they feel like they're doing all of this to get acceptance, or they're doing all of this. And to hear something like that, in spite of all the hard work they've put in, is, you know, crushing to some people. And so that has to stop, because for me, I'm going to say, you know, that's your opinion, and, you know, my husband likes it, and I'm happy with, you know, where I'm at, so that's really what matters. But somebody else, you know, might not be feeling the same way about it. So everyone's in a different spot, and luckily I can, you know, sometimes talk to people about it, and I don't get too many, I can't really say I've had too many people tell me face-to-face, like, that's too extreme, or that's, you know, too much, or you better not get any bigger, which, you know, I've seen on social media. But face-to-face, sometimes people will say just little things that can, you know, bother those who are proud of where they're at, or they're, you know, having a lot of discipline. And that could be, you know, you need to eat something, or that yo-yo dieting can't be, you know, can't be healthy, or, you know, assuming someone's not healthy, assuming someone's not natural, you know, I guess get on your nerves, because someone's not going to see someone who's overweight and say, oh, put those chips away. Put those chips away now. That's too much. But
yeah,
people will say that to someone who's, you know, lean and cut, and that's what they want to do. And, you know, for them, that's success. And the average, you know, competitor, or, you know, person in the gym, just any old person in the gym, maybe who's building muscle, is much healthier than the average American. And so for someone to insinuate, like, you're not healthy, or that can't be healthy, or that's too much, is, I think, another form of, you know, bullying.
Mm-hmm. So, and it's not that I disagree with that, but, you know, to play devil's advocate a little bit, because I know people out there are thinking this, we've seen it. So if we call it bullying, which I'm agreeing with you, I think that it is a form of that, but, you know, most people who are competitors especially, we post a lot of pictures. Do we bring this on ourselves? If we weren't as active with posting all these different pictures and videos out there, people wouldn't have the opportunity to fit shame. I mean, whose responsibility, or whose fault, if you will, is this phenomenon really?
Yeah. It's tough, because in the fitness industry, you know, you have to market yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a coach, if you're, you know, actually a professional in the field, you have to market yourself. And in some, it doesn't always have to be you. There's some very successful coaches that, you know, will market their transformations and their clients. It doesn't always have to be you. But a lot of times, if you are a competitor, you get a lot of positive comments too. I mean, you get people that message you and say, wow, I'm amazed with what you did. You know, how do you train in the gym, and, you know, what does your nutrition look like? And that opens up doors for your business and for marketing yourself. And then there's people that are not trying to market anything. They're promoting themselves, because maybe they want sponsorships, or maybe they're trying to get recognition in the field. And that's fine, too. I don't think it really necessarily means that it's okay to bash them, in my opinion. You know, you don't have to hit the like button. You have to say something. You can not follow them. But a lot of times it's someone
that
just following
true.
You that will, you know, say something. And they're usually following you because they're inspired by you. So it's tricky, like what possesses someone to, you know, say something negative. But there's a lot of athletes that, you know, hear it a lot more than I do. And either way, it's got to stop.
Brenda, what are your thoughts on that, along those lines?
I have so many thoughts on that. I'm going to try to condense that. I think, I mean, if anybody follows me on social media and you go onto my Facebook page, for example, you will never see a selfie of me in the gym. I think I have posted maybe 2 or 3 ever, and they're not even when I was working out. It was like, I remember one was on my 40th birthday, you know, and it was like, mm-hmm. Hey, welcome to 40, blah, blah, blah. And I was going to yoga, you know, I wasn't even going to work out. I guess I'm just a really private person with my journey because it's my journey. Do my clients and, you know, my business, do I expose it there? Yes, but I guess I use it as a tool where I feel it's the best fit, where it's going to be the most motivational, inspirational to people. I've done fitness modeling. I've done all of that over the last 17 years, and I've never had to, for lack of a better term, I've never had to shove my body into someone's face. Do you know what I mean? To get where I wanted to go, because my person is going to sell myself. My body and my physique is kind of an added bonus, yes, for sure. But, you know what I mean, in business, if you look at it like that, and I'm in the wellness business, so, of course, you know, it is important. The way I look is important, and it is a reflection of what I'm capable of helping others do. You guys know what I've done with my competitive career, so I feel like that it speaks for itself a little bit more than my person or my body does, if that makes sense. So I think there's a fine line. I think that, you know, obviously it's important that we put our stuff out there, but I guess I look at it like this. If you took someone who came to me and they said, Brenda, I want to lose 100 pounds, and this is pretty common because of what I do for a living, and, you know, they're not probably posting 500 selfies in a week of themselves on their journey. Right. So I guess I don't do it either, because if somebody wants to see something or they're interested in something or I have a request, you know, from clients, hey, we want to follow your journey, I'm going to create a private forum where they can do that. Right. So I'm going to let people that want to see it, but I'm not going to put it out there for everyone to be forced to see. I don't know if that makes sense. So I don't think it's wrong or right. I think everybody has their own way of doing it. That's just been what works for me, but that's just because I'm a private person, right? So some people really are way more open with all of that. A lot of my clients are, and that's fantastic. It works for them. There's nothing wrong with that. I do feel that there's a fine line, though, where it becomes obsessive. I see it on social media with my business, and it's like some people I just unfollow because even I can't handle that kind of exposure all the time, you know, where I just... Mm-hmm. I think, I don't know, I'm busy living my life, so I don't have time to do all of that, I guess, as much, if that makes sense. So, yeah, you know, I think people that are out there, there's definitely this, too. There's a lot of people out there that are literally looking for pictures of us to insult or critique, or they're looking for us in the gym, you know, because... Again, there's something maybe inside that they don't feel right about, you know, with themselves. And so, holy hell, if you should look like that, you know, and yeah, that happens. That's always going to happen. There's always people looking to nitpick or put someone else down to boost themselves up, sadly.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. And it's basically that, you know, that point to where it's destructive because they're destructive. But, you know, like Brenda was saying, it goes on both sides to where, you know, there is that point where you are pushing too much out there because you still have that self-doubt, that lack of self-respect where you need to pull from others. So, you know, it's like she said, it's a fine line. But, you know, when you're branding yourself, you do have to be aware that there is a fine line. There is too much marketing, but it still shouldn't bring about the point with the verbiage that's being used and the wording and the basically the assault, because, you know, like some of these links that I click on, I have to unfollow, like Brenda said, where it can be so bad, where it's like you're saying this can't be real. You know, this really can't be real, but you understand that it is, especially when they're ganging up to attack a person because of some of the most minute issues. You really have to question
yep.
the sanity of some of these people. It's just amazing like that,
mm-hmm.
is.
For sure. It is.
Yes,
for
I
sure.
was just shocked on this Army Times article this week. I was very shocked at this Army Times article because, you know, the goal is to promote physical readiness, you know, within the Army, and it's mostly men that were featured, but there were so many comments. I mean, it goes also towards men. I mean, there's a lot of it towards women, but it goes also towards men. I saw, you know, small penises, this, that,
oh.
like steroids. I mean, everything you could think of, like, oh, they must be, you know, there's no way that they would get past that drug test and silly things like that. And I'm thinking, well, why would an individual, I mean, I know there's those that do, but why would an individual want to compete natural just to prove to themselves that they're a winner in a natural organization and promote, not just compete and win, but promote natural bodybuilding, promote training naturally to be using the juice on the side. I mean, there's not too many people that are going to go that route. Like, if you really want to go that route, why would you choose to compete naturally and why would you choose to live a lie? I mean, I know there's those that show up to a natural show and compete and get drug tested, don't pass, and they might have, you know, short-lived natural career. But the majority of athletes that are competing natural really want to compete natural for a reason. And you're not seeing, you know, roid guts and all of that on any of those individuals that were featured in this article that came out this week. So, yeah, it's men and women. It's really too bad that individuals feel like they have to do that. But I do understand what Brenda was saying about overexposure, and there is, you know, a limit to overexposure. But besides promoting yourself, some people really do want to inspire others too. So as I was saying, you know, I'm promoting myself and my business, but at the same time, I often will post on the Healthy Active Native site on Facebook, which is over 60,000 Alaska Natives, American Indians, and it's promoting fitness, healthy eating. And I have a lot of followers on my Facebook page that are from Healthy Active Natives and that write to me, and I'll give them tips and things. And to me, that's a passion. So I might not be making money or, you know, I guess increasing my business, but it's a passion for me to influence and inspire, especially young women that are American Indian, Alaska Native, when there's not too many, you know, that have
sure.
taken the same fitness journey as me. So people promote themselves for different reasons, but yes, I do agree there's overexposure to an extent, for sure.
And I also think there's a difference in the way if we're going to talk about self-promotion a little bit, that it happens. And I'm not going to hijack the show to really go down that route, but, you know, part of it seems like the female persona in the bodybuilding community, you know, when we are portrayed in social media, whether we're doing it ourselves or someone else is doing it for us, it's either, you know, the very muscular masculine part of it, okay, we have that, which people don't seem to like, or you have the very sexually charged side of it, which, you know, the same people who might, you know, criticize someone, you know, a girl from the front because her biceps are too big, as soon as she turns around and is doing, you know, a deadlift or something like that, they're all about that position, right? Because then, you know, nice round glutes. Nobody ever complains about those being too muscular.
So you really have that. Well, they double. Am I wrong?
No.
So you really have the two facets of it. So it's almost how you look at it. From the front, ooh, gross, you're disgusting. From behind, well, you know, all I want to do is zoom, 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 right? And so it just kind of depends on the type of marketing that's coming out there. But this, and I'm actually going to tie into a couple of questions. We're running out of time, so it's not a smooth transition, but it works. But that, I mean, that's the truth. And we get, you know, negative or unwanted comments on both from both sides of that equation. But Rachel and Sarah both have questions, and they correlate together. Rachel's question is, how do you handle or politely decline, you know, someone who wants to give you a spot in the gym when you don't want it or you don't feel like you need it? And then also there's a, from Sarah's perspective, there's that hands-on guy who always wants to help you with everything. And then you try to bring it to the gym management's attention that, you know, I really can't get away from this person's attention and they don't do anything about it. How do you handle both of those situations? Brenda, why don't we go ahead and start with you?
I'm just chuckling. I actually just had this happen over the weekend. That's pretty funny. It happens a lot. Like I said, if I start working out, especially this time of year, it's freezing cold in Wisconsin, so I'm always usually covered up pretty well for a while until I actually warm up. And so I was starting to work out, do my workout, loading on lots of weight, and all of a sudden, before you know it, I had someone coming up behind me to spot me, and I was a little, like, dumbfounded, so I kept going. I was squatting, and I kept going, and then I racked my bar. I turned around, and I said, "Can I help you with something?" And took my headphones out. And he said, "Oh, I just saw that you're squatting really heavy, and I want to make sure you didn't hurt yourself." I said, "Oh, I'm a personal trainer by trade. If I were to get into a dire situation, I would know how to remove myself from that." And I said, "And if not, you know, it would be too late." But I said, "Thanks for your concern." You know, and he said, "Well, I'm right here if you need me for your next set." And I said, "Actually, I'm a solo lifter. I don't really work out with other people for that reason, because I really like to train by myself so I don't lose my focus." So then, this is kind of funny, but it's something that I have done not on purpose. My handshake tends to be a little more firm probably than most men think it will be when they shake my hand. So I stuck my hand out to shake his hand, and he did not come back. So it was just kind of a funny way of, like, you know, I didn't do it on purpose. It was just like, that's the way I shake hands, and I don't think he expected that. The squeeze was there, and I think he realized, like, I'm okay, thank you. And then actually, it was about maybe 20 minutes after that, sweatshirt came off, and then he kept glaring over, and I don't think he thought that that's what I look like underneath. So I think that was a good eye-opener, right? So, I mean, that's just a funny case, like a fun way to handle it. Some people are just, like, really persistent in their what I will deem a little schmarmy, and they're really just trying to pick you up. And, I mean, I'm pretty blunt about that, and, you know, I'm in a relationship, so I will just turn around and say, "Hey, you know, thanks for offering a spot. I'm totally okay, you know, blah, blah, blah." And I will actually plug something in about, I'm going to get back to my workout now because I have plans with my boyfriend when I'm done, right? So, I mean, there's a million ways you can plug it in there. I'm always really polite about it, but I just cut it off at the knees. You know, you have to, otherwise it's just going to go on and on. Yeah.
Loretta, how about you? How do you handle those situations?
Oh, goodness. I was just thinking, I haven't been approached with that for a long, long time. A lot of the time I have my husband with me in the gym, so that's not an issue for me. But I have in the past, you know, just said real politely, "I appreciate it, but I'm good." Just real simple. "I appreciate it, but I'm good."
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times I'm in my zone, so sometimes I'm not even seeing people that I know that are right there in front of me. So seeing somebody else,
I'm with
being
you.
Being approachable is not an issue, because I'll have my earphones in, you know, I'll be lifting, so I don't look too approachable. But I have had friends that have, you know, constantly had people coming up to them. Well, this one man in our gym here in Virginia was coming up to one of my friends constantly, trying to tell her how to do certain exercises, asking to spot.
Yeah.
And she was getting kind of intimidated by it. But you just have to be straightforward and polite.
Okay, very good. And I would say, you know what, if you do go to management of a gym and they're not doing anything about it, there's always someone higher up you can try to go to. And if the owner is not going to do anything about it, if that's the highest you can go and they're willing to lose your membership over it, unfortunately, you know, it might be time to switch gyms. But a lot of the times I'm like Loretta, probably like Brenda, you know, earbuds in, head down. I'm there for a purpose and I'm there to focus. So rightly or wrongly so, I don't give a lot of people a chance to interact with me when I'm working out. And if you are, you know, dealing with someone who is trying to be persistent, you know, they're saying be polite, but I'm saying if they're not getting the message, you know, just flat out tell them, I'm sorry, I'm focused here, I don't have time to chit-chat, put your earbuds in and move along. And hopefully that's enough, and if not, the issue is much bigger than someone being a fan.
Agreed.
So, Kaylin, do we have any more listener questions that we would like to give to the ladies to answer?
One is for Brenda, and I think this is something she had touched on earlier, but I think a lot of people have a hard time believing, is they've seen your competitive pictures, and they can't believe when you say if you put a jacket on that you're actually not the size that you say.
Yeah, it's true. It's hard to find clothes that fit, so I usually get clothes like a size bigger than me because I can't get my legs in the holes or my arms and back through the shirt without like ripping the seams usually. So if I get one that fits my body, but it's really true. People at my gym are phenomenal. They've literally seen me transform my body from a runner. That's what I did before I was a runner, before I became a bodybuilder. And they've watched me over, this is 18 years of lifting, 17 of those competing. And they will say it to this day, you know, they'll see me like 4 weeks before the show. Mind you, my prep is 24 weeks long, so I go long and slow so I don't lose any muscle mass, right? But by the time I get to the end of 4 weeks, they're like, oh, man, you're looking really good. And then they joke about it. It's like 7 days before the show, I'm looking like I have been, you know, dialing in. Then 2 days before the show, when I fly out, they're like, holy shit, what happened to you? You know, like, you look amazing. What did you do? I'm like, it's called peak week, right? So when you do it right, everything comes together. And, you know, you're really lean. And so you're looking, like, incredibly muscular. Plus, you know, when you're doing it right, you're loading your muscle bellies with all the nutrients they need to stay full on stage. Again, that's what I teach my clients when I coach them, right? You want to feed yourself fit, not starve yourself skinny. So I'm eating a lot of food. I don't do the typical 2 hours of cardio. I don't do any cardio in my prep. So, you know, I don't rely on that to get lean. I rely on my food. So, yeah, it's a visual trick. I mean, right now, standing here, you know, if you saw me, you'd be like, that's not you. Do you look like that? Sure, let me show you. Right? But my structure is very tiny. I have a really small bone structure. So I guess I'm fortunate for that, and I have really long muscle bellies, so unless you make me do a frontal bicep, you're not going to really know.
No doubt. And I can speak from firsthand. I helped her hang some of them posters, and I just remember the people at the seminar were just amazed that this is that woman. It's so funny to watch when she has her back turned, and they're like looking at each other like, oh, my God. And it's like natural muscle is a beautiful thing. And a hard work muscle is even better because it's just so much that's expressed in the body. And I mean, it's truly a work of art when we understand. But the people that don't understand it really don't get that connection, and that's why they speak the way they speak. And I'm sorry for all the listeners because we have so many questions. I'd like to speak on that another time, and I'd just let the ladies finish it out.
Okay.
Well, Kaylin,
next question.
And Desiree, thank you for having me. It was a great topic, and you know, I wish I could share more on this subject. But I think that there's so many women out there that would probably love to jump in if you have this topic again. And Brenda, I appreciated all your responses too, and I definitely admire you.
Oh, thank you. And same to you. It's been fun to be on the call with you and, of course, everyone, and to be a part of this. And, you know, something I always like to share with people is I'm at that point for sure where I love to give back to the sport and just to the community in general, you know, especially those who are on their journey. I don't care, like I said, if you have 100 pounds to lose or, you know, you're getting lean for your first show and dialing in with 20 more pounds of muscle. Sadly, you know, the world around you is always judging, but it's not about you. You know, it's about them. So be strong with yourself because the truth is in the end, hopefully you can change their outlook, their mindset, and teach them something valuable where they can actually see you for who you are and see themselves
yes.
for who they really are and not look through that lens of judgment anymore. So there's always an opportunity to be kind and, you know, and share that. And if they're not willing to receive that, then that's when you walk away with your head held high. You know, you have to, otherwise it's just going to continue on.
Yeah. Amen to that. Well, Brenda and Loretta, on behalf of Kaylin and I and P4P, thanks so much for joining us tonight. And we have a ton of questions that are coming in. We just don't have time to answer them, but we'll definitely have to have you ladies and or another group of ladies on again. And hopefully we'll be able to do that soon.
Awesome. Thank
you,
guys.
Have a great night.
Okay. Thank you.
Wow. Wow.
I know. That's amazing. So everybody who sent in questions here towards the end, we're so sorry, but seeing those, we'll be communicating with Loretta and Brenda both, and we will get you answers. Even if we have to spread them out over a couple of shows, because this Thursday we're going to have a very full show with roll call again.
Yeah, I think that's what it's going to have to be. This is a very, and I'm not saying this tongue-in-cheek, this is a very intimate subject, and it's touched a lot of women in a lot of bad ways. And for them to love fitness the way they're expressing, it really hurts to see the potential damage that can be done to somebody that's trying to improve on their health, and that's the saddening part of it. And I think Des shares that. Well, I know she shares that with me. That it's just amazing. I really appreciate everyone that's reached out. And you know, the guys, I'm not overlooking what you're saying, but I really think in this area that the women would know best about what's going on with them. So, you know, I appreciate your input, and maybe we can have a show on that where the guys are speaking on the women's behalf, but not for the women, speaking how they would address not having that happen. So I'm not overlooking what you guys are saying, but just from the woman's point of view, because this is something that's happening directly to them. So I'd like to keep it to them, for them. Wow. Just wow.
Ooh. It is. And of all the things that you have, that you know, encounter in any kind of journey to improve yourself, I mean, really, you shouldn't have to have someone, you shouldn't have to deal with someone bashing you for being fit or liking muscle or, I mean, you just shouldn't. Because at that point, it really is just a, I think, an insecurity on the other person's. If you know, it's a personal preference, fine. I have a lot of preferences on things that I don't like, but I don't go around harassing the people who do like them.
Well, I actually have this is something I live, so I can speak on it. I know we're running out of time, but I'll make it quick. When I was in the military, there was a fella, but I don't need to give his name. I'll just give his measurements. This fella was all of 6 foot, and he had a 22-inch neck and a 21-inch waist, and he was incredibly fit, and he loved exercising, and he was just a brute when it came to the gym and life. And he was just a beach body waiting to happen. He was a photo shoot that could happen at any time because he stayed at that level of lean, and he only cared for women that were 400 pounds plus. So, you know, when you talk about personal preferences, nobody knows anything better than the person that has to live it, but we can't speak for them. And I think that's what's the biggest hurt for me reading these things, not these things, these messages, is that people are trying to make up someone else's mind on how they should look and feel about their own bodies. And I think that's the biggest shame, not the shaming, but the shame in that you feel the need to direct someone else's life basically on a life that you're not even living. And if you are, then you wouldn't be worried about what these people are doing if it's not damaging to their own body.
If their health is not in question, I agree wholeheartedly. And with that, we're out of time. We are now officially off air, but we're still recording. I hate it when this happens. I hate it, and I'm highly entertained by it at the same time. So anybody who downloads this podcast and chooses to listen all the way to the end is even going to hear this. So go ahead and give out your snickerdoodle shout out, Kaylin.
Snickerdoodle
for snickerfoodle. On behalf of myself, Kaylin, and P2P Muscle, your body is a temple, so let's build it.